Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You're listening to the Nerd Cave Network.
Welcome to episode 21 of the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. My name is Jason Robbins.
And I'm Derek Diamond, and I'm happy to announce that today's podcast, today's episode of the Nerd Cave Retro, is brought to you by our brand new sponsor, Audible.com. To get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial, just visit audible.com/nerdcave. You can get over 180,000 titles to choose from, whether it be Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, the Divergent series, so many titles to choose from. You can download them for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Just visit audibletrial.com/nerdcave to get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial.
May I make a suggestion? I actually just got through listening to Catalyst, the Rogue One prequel novel, on Audible the week before last. And that, if you love Rogue One, you need to go and listen to Catalyst. So you could use your free audiobook to download that title and give it a listen.
Fantastic. Now, I've heard good things about Catalyst, and it's funny because when we first started doing the Nerd Cave podcast, we were joking around that we should get Audible to be a sponsor, because Zach's been into Audible for, you know, as long as I've known him, or ever since it's existed.
Yeah, I've had it.
And
for
it's
a few
funny
years myself.
It's funny that all these years later, they're actually a sponsor now.
And you know, one of the best books I ever got on there was the Kevin Smith book, the autobiography that he put on there.
Oh, that one's on there?
Yeah, it's on there, and I've listened to it no less than 10 times.
I am going to go download Audible right now.
Yes, do it. I love Audible. It's fantastic. It gets me through my work days.
That's so awesome. But how are you this week, sir? It's been a bit since we've done, I guess, what you'd call a traditional episode of the show.
Yeah, anybody that downloaded last week's episode know that we did the commentary track for The Wizard, which we got some pretty good numbers off of that. It was, like you said earlier, is a little higher than we thought it would be. And I think it was a pretty good episode. I actually went back and listened to it myself, and I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, and I know I was telling you this after we finished, but that was really the first time that I had sat down with someone else who had watched that movie before. Because I've, no lie, the only times that I've ever watched that movie, I've been by myself, mm-hmm. which has been the majority of the time. I watched it once with my girlfriend, and then I watched it with you the other day.
Yeah, that movie's always been a solitary experience for myself as well. I watched it a few years ago when it was on Netflix, and I watched it, and I really enjoyed it, even though you know, I had, it used to be one of those movies that I watched all the time as a kid. I had it taped on a VHS tape, and I wore the tape out when I was a kid. I loved that movie so much, but I hadn't seen it in like, had to be 20 years at that point. And I watched it and I really enjoyed it. And I guess my older sensibilities, I didn't like it as much as I did as a kid. I thought it was kind of hokey, but then watching it again with you, I really enjoyed it. I had such a good time watching that movie with you last week.
No, it was a lot of fun. And I know we talked about sometime in the next couple of months, we'll be doing another commentary for the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I think we're all probably going to buy the new Steelbook that comes out.
I'm going to camp out at Best Buy and make sure I'm the first one to get it.
But what have you been up to the last couple of weeks? Have you played any retro games?
I have. I actually, for Christmas, I got an NES Classic.
Can I ask you a question? Where did the person that got you that, I'm assuming it was your significant other, where did they get it? Because I've been looking everywhere and they haven't restocked anywhere.
Well, it was my mom that got it for me.
Okay.
And she was able to get it from Amazon the day it came out and did not tell me.
Really?
Yes.
How did she manage that?
I have no idea. I mean, I read a couple of stories of people that were able to do it. I guess it was just luck.
Yeah, I've been hitting up Best Buy and Target every single week. And still, every time I walk in there, especially in Target, they got a little sign that says, "We are out of classic Nintendo. We will restock as soon as we get more supply." And no date on when they will get more.
Best Buy has been saying the middle of the month.
Well, they said it was supposed to be towards the end of December that they were going to get more, but they never did.
Best Buy is a bunch of liars.
So is Nintendo. Get on it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh.
But I mean, the overall, like the NES Classic is fun. You know, it's a very simple setup, and the save points are amazing. Like, they are so good, even for games that have a save feature like Zelda, because, you know, if you can save it, but once you start it back, you're at the portion of the map where you get the first sword. But with the save points, like if I'm in the middle of a dungeon and I have to go, I just hit the reset button. It goes back to the main menu and is like, do you want to create a save point? You hit yes, and then I can pick up right in the middle of the dungeon.
I want one so bad, especially
it's a lot of fun.
I'm going to let you cover this. We'll go ahead and we'll switch up our in the Google Doc. We've got our news stories here. I'm going to let you cover the classic Nintendo story we have. So let's go ahead and we'll go into news for this week.
You knew this was going to happen. Hackers successfully add games to the NES Classic Edition. And this is courtesy of TechCrunch.com. The greatest hope of retro gamers and the greatest fear of Nintendo have been met simultaneously. The immensely popular NES Classic Edition has been hacked and its 30-game library augmented with new and even homebrew titles. Hacking has been ongoing since the release of the device, but this is the most promising development yet, and it appears to work on the U.S. version of the tiny console. The hack appeared in the forums of Russian retro gaming community GBX in the form of a YouTube video and step-by-step instructions, in Russian, of course. The NES Classic Mod subreddit picked up on it right away and valiantly subjected their devices to the code with great success. And there's a photo showing Battletoads in the menu, and you can also see Tiny Toon Adventures as well. So this is no surprise. I knew somebody was gonna be able to hack into this and be able to add games to it, but I mean the screen looks legit. Like it's the menu from the NES Classic with additional games.
Well, I never understood how or why Nintendo didn't make this thing be able to download titles in the future, like give it some sort of USB port to be able to download titles. But maybe there's a workaround that in the future Nintendo could actually add titles to this thing, because the hard drive itself is big enough to accommodate every single Nintendo title there is. Why would you only make a device that only holds 30?
Yeah, I mean, if it were up to me, I would have put more on it to begin with. But you definitely want to put in the option of, you know, adding more down the line.
Yeah, because that would have been a huge selling point for this thing, to be able to download future titles for this thing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, even with the 30 games, it's still a lot of fun, but people hacking into it, I mean, it's tough to really sympathize with Nintendo for the way they handled the release of this thing.
I will agree.
So you know how it is.
Yeah. And if Russians are going to hack something, you know, I can get behind this.
Yeah, I'm not complaining.
But we also have another news. This comes to us from PC Mag magazine. NX brings Game Boy back with Super Retro Boy. NX's retro gaming brand Retrobit has been making old school gaming gear for years. It's most recently released the Retrobit Generations, an 8 and 16-bit game system reminiscent of the NES Classic Edition that had quirky potential but was bogged down by mushy controls and poor HDMI video output. They are working on a new generation of retro devices, and it might have learned its lesson from the generations and figured out how to improve upon the very good Super Retro Trio cartridge-based system. The company showed off several new retro game systems at CES, including the Retrobit Generations Portable, the Super Retro Boy, and Super Retro Trio HD. The Super Retro Boy warms the cockles of their old-school gaming hearts. It's a retro game system shaped like a Nintendo Game Boy with a color backlit LCD screen and the ability to play Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance cartridges. It features a fully rechargeable battery with a micro USB port for charging, and NX says that it can run for up to 10 hours. That's at least 8 AA's worth of Game Boy gaming. Let's see. If you want to play games on the Super Retro Boy or Super Retro Trio HD, you need cartridges. NX has that covered as well, with three Retrobit X Jaleco carts, the 22-in-1 NES pack, the 10-in-1 SNES pack, and the 10-in-1 Game Boy pack feature multiple Jaleco games for their respective consoles. There are no HD tricks in these cartridges. They're old-fashioned physical releases that will work in your original NES, SNES, and Game Boy, as well as NX's systems. The Super Retro Trio HD ships in May with a $79.99 retail price. The Retrobit Generations Portable and Super Retro Boy come out in July for $69.99 and August for $79.99, respectively. The Retrobit X Jaleco cartridges also ship in July for $19.99 each. So I think I might have to pick up one of these, the Super Retro Trio, because it is very similar in concept to the Retron 5, but any new game system that can play cartridges in modern TVs and make them look good or welcome. Of course, that will depend on whether NX can fix or replace the HDMI output problems of the Retrobit generations when it releases the Super Retro Trio HD. So if the HDMI looks good, this thing looks like it might be worth the price.
I'm just saying, for anyone listening, if they want to get me a birthday gift... My birthday's in August.
Because as much as I'd love to have my old consoles, I would really like to have something that I can play multiple cartridges from different systems in one system and kind of cut down on the space.
Absolutely.
And if it is HDMI, that would make it much easier for me to be able to stream to Twitch, which I plan on doing in the future. To tag along with this show and be able to play with our listeners and let them watch me fail miserably at Ninja Gaiden and games like that.
I mean, this is a, I love when retro gaming can be combined with modern technology like this. This is awesome.
Yeah, and I really love the fact that there are people still making new Nintendo and Super Nintendo games, and they're even going back and finding old games that were never released and turning around and releasing them. So it's a really cool time to be a retro gamer.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, I've talked about with multiple friends. Like, there's really a huge niche with retro gaming. I mean, there's so many people that play the new games, like, you know, Uncharted 4 and Battlefield, but there's also that side that still loves the retro games, including myself. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the main reasons why we started doing this show.
Exactly. I'm, you know, I kind of fell off the bandwagon of new modern games. Like, I bought the PS4, and the only game I've bought for it so far is the Dark Knight, Batman, the last Gotham game that was put out. And that's it. I have no interest. I want to play retro games. There's just something about the old 8-bit, 16-bit games that just still hold my attention to this day.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I got a GameStop gift card for Christmas, and I went out and bought the Uncharted collection because I had never played any of those games before. So those I've been, you know, kind of excited to get into. I think the first three came out for PlayStation 3. So those I'm excited about. But yeah, for the most part, I still go back and play. Like, I mean, most of my Christmas break was spent playing the original Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, mine was spent playing DuckTales, which I bought at the local Play and Talk. I'm not going to mention how much I paid for it, but I got a really good price for it. And the cart is in perfect condition. I picked that up, and I also picked up Strider, if you've never heard of that. It's a Capcom game as well. And it was one of my favorite games as a kid, but doesn't hold up so well as an adult. So I'm actually thinking I might give that one a good shot and do a review of that game next time. I really want to do DuckTales, but I'm gonna save that one.
Yeah, that's a good one to save. DuckTales is such a good game.
No, it's up there with Mega Man 2 as far as being pretty much a perfect 8-bit video game.
I actually never played the original one, but they came out with the remastered one for like Xbox and PlayStation Arcade.
I played that
one on the 360, and the gameplay is exactly the same, just, you know, updated graphics, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it still holds up. Trust me. It is so good. Even the graphics are just, man, they're perfect. I love it so much.
It's good stuff.
But moving on, we'll move into this month in video game history. This month in 1987, on January 14th, Nintendo releases Zelda 2: The Adventures of Link for the Famicom Disk System in Japan only. The game would go unreleased in America for nearly 2 years afterwards. What do you think of Adventures of Link?
I don't think it's as bad as most people claim it to be. I think it would have been much better received if it did not have the Zelda name attached to it, because it doesn't play like any other Zelda game, like past or present.
Yeah.
They tried to add the platforming aspect to it a little bit, and it just doesn't fit. It's not Zelda.
No, not it. Zelda's not meant to be a 2D side scroller. And I'll be honest, no. I hated it at the time. I bought it, and then I immediately traded it to one of my friends for, can't remember what I traded it for. I think I traded it for two games, which I kind of downgraded, but I think I got RC Pro-Am and something else. I don't remember. I think Bugs Bunny Crazy Castle.
I was hoping you would say a bag of chips.
Yeah, I might have. It might have been a bag of chips and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I'd like to actually get my hands on a copy and give it another good shot. Being older and a little more open to, you know, games being different than what the, especially sequels being different from the original. If I can find a good copy of it, I'll pick it up and give it a shot and give it a review, a fair review, and kind of forget about the way I felt about it as a kid.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'd be interested in going back and trying it again because I haven't played it in a long, long time. Probably since the Nintendo released a like Zelda Collector's Edition disc to promote the Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. And it had like the original Zelda, Zelda 2, Ocarina of Time, and Majora's Mask. And I think that was probably the last time that I played it. And that had to have been like 2002, 2003.
Yeah, I think
so. It's been a while.
Probably roughly since about 1990 or 89 since I played it. So around 27 years ago.
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. But in 1988, on January 8th, Konami releases Super Contra as well as the NES version of Metal Gear in North America and the PAL region. I've never played any Contra or Metal Gear game, but I know they have their fan bases.
I never played Metal Gear for the NES, but I did play Super Contra, which is a really fun game if you have another person to play with.
Interesting. I want to say, was that one of the games that was featured in The Wizard?
Yeah, I think they did show it a few times. And I think it came on the Nintendo Classic, didn't it?
It may have. I might have. Yeah, it might just be one that I've overlooked. Because the only ones that I've played so far have been Zelda and then the three Mario games.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Super C is on that as well. And because I remember people talking about, well, why wouldn't they put the original?
You're right. It is on there. Yeah, I remember it being called Super C.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on there.
And in 1994, in January, Mega Man X is released in the U.S. Never played it.
I have not either. Like I said, I was never a big Mega Man guy.
Yeah, I wasn't either at the time.
So that one kind of slipped me by. And also in January of 94, Battle Arena Toshinden, hopefully I'm pronouncing that name correctly, was released, one of the first fully 3D fighting games. I've never heard of this game, to be perfectly honest.
I remember this game. I remember hearing about it, but I don't remember what like the fighters looked like. I keep thinking Tekken, but that's not it. So might have to go and look this up. The name is really familiar, but I can't bring it up in my memory.
Yeah, I really have no like recollection of it. But I mean, it's one of those things, like, through doing the video game history, you know, we've learned like first, you know, open world game or first whatever, and this is one of the first fully 3D fighting games. You know, just knowing that is kind of cool information.
Yeah, it was probably the predecessor to Tekken, because that I keep thinking of Tekken, so it's got to be kind of in that same vein.
Yeah.
But right here in the middle of the show, right before we go into the review tonight of Super Mario Brothers 2, for you, the listeners of Nerd Cave Retro Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I would recommend, like I said before, Star Wars Catalyst or even the Kevin Smith autobiography. And they can either they can pretty much get either one of those. There's also a book I'm listening to right now called what is it? Hold on, let me look it up real quick. It's the Sith book about Vader and Palpatine.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it.
I'm bringing it up right now. Of course, it's got to do an update. Lords of the Sith by Paul S. Kemp.
Nice.
So go check that out. And to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/nerdcave. Again, that's audibletrial.com/nerdcave for your free audiobook. Go do it now. Support the show.
Ready for your review, sir?
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm going to play some music here. I love that music so much.
So catchy.
It makes me want to go play. Like right now. I love this game. But Super Mario Bros. 2 was released in Japan as Super Mario USA. And why is that? Do you know the story behind this game?
Wasn't it... It originally started as another game, but then was transformed into Mario Bros. 2 for the US because the original Mario Bros. 2 was deemed too difficult
for
American game players.
Originally, Super Mario Bros. 2, the Japanese version, was sort of the same graphics and gameplay as the original Super Mario Bros., but it was really, really difficult. And they felt it would be too difficult for American audiences. So they took another game from Japan called Yume Kojo Doki Doki Panic for their Famicom system, and they basically reskinned it with Super Mario characters and for release in America. It became a commercial success, and eventually the game became well-received enough that it was also released in Japan for the Famicom itself. It has been considered a classic Super Mario Brothers game worldwide, including in Japan. That's how good this game was. It's a 2D side-scrolling platform game. Objective of the game is to navigate the player's character through the Dream World subcon and defeat the main antagonist, Wart. Which, I don't know about you, but I wish they would bring Wart back into another Mario game. Because you know they're going to be doing more Mario games in the future. This is the only game I know of that he's been in.
You would be correct. This is the only game he's been in.
And also, this was the first Mario game where you could play four different characters, which is... to me, the best part of this game. You've got Mario, who is pretty much he's the most well-rounded character. You've got Luigi, who can jump really high, and you've got Toad, who's super fast, and you've got the princess, who can float basically for what, like 3-4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Each character has their own set of abilities to get you through the game, and that makes this game just so head and shoulders above the first Mario game, which, don't get me wrong, I love the original Super Mario Brothers game, and I love Super Mario Brothers 3, which is really more of a sequel to the original Mario Brothers than this game was. This was a complete different type of game than the original Mario game was, because in this one you can actually jump on characters and pick them up, throw them. You can pluck cherries and turnips out of the ground, throw them. You tug on grass to get like coins, and there's potions that you throw on the ground, which create these doors. And if you do them in certain sections of the game, you go through the door into the kind of a shadow world for a couple of seconds. And there are like power-ups in there, hidden doors, hidden things in that other world. And it's such a good, like, just such a good game. And it consists of 20 different levels across the 7 worlds comprising Subcon. Each world has a particular theme that dictates the obstacles and enemies encountered in its levels, such as desert areas with dangerous quicksand and snowy areas with slippery surfaces. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people that don't like this game because it doesn't fit in with what people consider a Mario game to be. But honestly, this is probably, it's probably not my favorite. I think Mario 3 is probably still my favorite game, but there was just something that was so playable, replayable about this game, and the controls were damn near perfect on this game. But just the replay value on this game alone, I think I played this game more than I actually did Mario 3 and Mario 1.
Definitely played it more than Mario 1. And I was actually going to ask you that, like, what are your thoughts on people who say it doesn't really fit in? My take on it is, because I've actually been playing this quite a bit on the NES Classic, yeah, it's different than any other Mario game, but why does that make it a bad thing? I mean, to me, it introduces some pretty cool things. Like, it introduces the POW block, which has been used in other Mario games. It introduced a cult favorite as far as, like, the Mario bad guys. It introduces the Shy Guys.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that you can play as four different characters, which I'll say, I don't know who your go-to person was, but for me, it was the princess because she could float in the air.
Yeah, I played the princess a lot. It was usually between the princess and Mario because he, like I said, he was the most well-rounded. But some of the bosses in this game, like Birdo, is probably one of the most recognizable bad guys in the Mario universe.
Mm-hmm. There are some bosses that I wish they would bring back, like including Wart. Like, it would be cool if they don't do it for, like, the main console Mario game, if they do, like, another handheld, why not bring him back, or, like, call it, you know, Mario Brothers Return to Subcon.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
I don't know why they don't do a sequel to this game. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, I mean, you had Wart, you had the giant mouse who would throw bombs, you
Bowser.
Had the three-headed snake.
Yeah, I forgot about the three-headed snake.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool villains in this game. And, you know, the gameplay, yeah, it's a little different, but to me, it's not, like, worlds different than your typical Mario game. It's still a platformer.
Yeah,
the only difference is you don't kill enemies when you jump on them.
Yeah, well, not only that, but this was the, I think, pretty much the only Mario, like, Super Mario Brothers game that didn't have a point system.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there are no points to be made in this game. All you have is your health meter, which you start off with, I think, 2 bars on your health meter, and you can build it up as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's no point system to be had in this game, which they brought it back for the third game.
I think the thing that really speaks to the popularity of this game is how many times it was released. Like, it came out and then they released it in Japan, called it Super Mario USA. It's been on every Nintendo Virtual Console. They put it on the Super Mario Brothers All-Star game for Super Nintendo, which included the Japanese version of Mario 2. They repackaged it as the Lost Levels.
Yeah.
And it was more difficult than the original Mario game. It was released as the first Game Boy Advance game, Super Mario Advance. It was just a direct port of Mario Brothers 2, just with, you know, updated graphics, of course, but it plays exactly the same. I enjoy the game. Is it my favorite Mario game? No, but I don't get the hate for it.
It's definitely one of those games that you can just jump in and play. It's the cover art is so nice for the game that when I'm looking at my game collection, it's one of the, you know, top 3 games that just the cover art itself just screams play me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It's such a nice color of blue with Mario jumping, holding the turnip. It just says play me.
It just screams classic Nintendo. I mean, you've got Mario, and it's just a simple jumping pose. It screams 80s and it screams Nintendo.
Well, not only that, this game was on the cover of the very first issue of Nintendo Power.
That is correct.
There's a
We should start the movement. Hashtag bring back Wart.
Yeah, we should, because he was a good villain. Bring back all the villains. Bring back Birdo. Bring back Mauser. I can't remember what the name of the three-headed snake was, but bring back
Triclide.
Wart. Triclide. That's it.
There were some other ones that I'm trying to remember. I'll look those up here in just a second.
Yeah, but the graphics on this game are just as good as Mega Man 2, and the controls are just as good. So I would rank this game up there with Mega Man 2 as being probably one of the most well-made Nintendo games of all time.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. Let's see, you had Birdo, you had Mauser, you had Fry Guy, the giant ball of fire.
Pokies. I forgot about the Pokies.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's see, Claw Grip, the giant crab.
Yes, I forgot about him.
Yeah. Then there was, you know, the giant bird whose mouth opened that you had to walk through to get to the next world? In the last level, you actually have to fight one of those things. Yeah. I remember that because you have to fight it right before you fight Wart.
I had totally planned on replaying this again all the way through, because when I popped it in a few months ago and I played, I can't remember who I got to. I got about three levels in before I stopped playing, but I never finished it. This was one of the few games that I could actually finish when I was a kid. And I wanted to go back, but like I said, I got wrapped up playing DuckTales over my Christmas break and started playing Dr. Mario again. So I wanted to go back and play this all the way through, but I never did. But I've got enough memory of this game to give a decent review of it without having had to play it recently.
Now, I have to ask, did you ever watch the old Super Mario Brothers cartoon?
Yes, of course.
I just remembered, like, Mauser, Triclide. Like, I think all the Mario 2 villains, except for Wart, were featured in that cartoon.
Yeah, it was. Was it the Super Mario Brothers Super Show? Because I remember they had the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and then they had Super Mario World. They did that one for a while.
Mm-hmm. Which they did Mario 3 as well.
Yeah, you don't see that one as much anymore, the Super Mario World. I can still remember the theme song to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Mario World, it's a blast from the past.
Super Mario. Yeah, I actually found those on DVD a long time ago, because I remember I used to watch that the Mario Brothers Super Show, because it came on Monday through Thursday, and then they played the Zelda cartoon on Fridays, and that Zelda cartoon was nothing like I pictured the games.
No, not at all. Do you remember Captain N the Game Master?
Oh, of course. Yeah, now, I have that one on DVD as well.
Yeah, I found the DVD for $5, and it had just had like five or six episodes on it at what was it, Books a Million? I found it a couple of months ago. Yeah, that cartoon doesn't hold up too well.
No. They had other game characters, I think, make appearances on that show, because I think Link and Zelda were on one episode.
Yeah.
Mother Brain from Metroid was the main villain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there were some other ones, but I can't remember them off the top of my head.
Had Eggplant Wizard. It had, what was the, King Hippo were the two henchmen for Mother Brain.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And there was, for the main group, there was Captain N, and then there was, like, this the princess that traveled around with them, but she was kind of a generic princess. She wasn't from any game. But they had Simon Belmont, and they had Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually Game Boy joined the adventures, and that was when the show kind of fell apart at that point. Shameless plugging of Nintendo hardware.
We seem to have a fascination with that. I mean, we did a commentary for a 90-minute Nintendo commercial, so
yeah,
that we should do after we do the Mario Brothers movie. We should pick out, like, an episode of each iteration of the Nintendo cartoons.
Dude, that is not a bad idea at all.
Because I think I have all of them on DVD. I'm not sure if I have Zelda. I'll have to go back and look. But I know I have Mario 3, Mario World, Captain N. Maybe I have Super Show. I can't remember.
Well, isn't the Super Mario Brothers Super Show? It's streaming on Netflix, isn't it?
Maybe.
I think it is. We're going to have to look that up. If it is, we'll do a another commentary track.
I'm going to have to find quicker routes to get to Mississippi.
Well, we can always do it over Skype, too, now that we know how to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm actually looking up on Netflix right now. Let's see. Super Mario. Oh, my God, it's on there.
It is. Oh, this is happening, people. This is happening. But actually, we need to go ahead and
help two brave brothers leave their normal life as plumbers to battle the bad guys.
Yes. But we need to go ahead and start wrapping this up. Let me finish this up here. Super Mario Brothers 2 yielded 10 million copies sold and was the third highest selling game ever released on the Nintendo Entertainment System at that time. Nintendo Power listed Super Mario Brothers 2 as the eighth best NES video game. Mentioning that regardless of its predecessor not being a Mario game, it was able to stand on its own merits and its unique take on the series signature format. It was ranked 108th out of the 200 greatest games of their time by Electronic Gaming Monthly. Games Radar ranked it the sixth best NES game ever made. And let's see. IGN praised it as one of the most polished and creative platformers of the era. So it got great reviews, and I don't see why people would not like this game. I mean, I understand that it's not like the other Super Mario Brothers game, but it does stand on its own. And the controls are great. Graphics are fantastic. The story is, it is a dream somewhat. Like, you get to the end of the game and Mario wakes up. And pretty much the whole thing has been, you don't know if it's been a dream or not, but that's what's implied. But I think it's a great game. People need to pick it up. It's definitely a classic and needs to be in anyone's collection for if they collect for the Nintendo. And you can pretty much find it anywhere at this point. It's not like it's a hard game to find. But if you are new to collecting for Nintendo, it's definitely one of the ones you need to have in your collection. I would give it a solid 8 out of 10.
I agree. I don't see the hate for this game. I mean, yeah, it's different, but if every incarnation of a game series was the same, it would be boring.
Yeah, I think if the original Super Mario Brothers 2, the Japanese version, which if you've ever seen it or played it, it looks exactly like the first game and plays like the first game. So I don't think the Mario Brothers would have had such a legacy if they wouldn't have had this departure for the second game.
I agree.
So go out there, pick it up, people. And it's on your classic Nintendo. So give it a whirl. I think you'll like it.
Absolutely.
So we're coming up on the end of the show. And so next week, do we want to tell them what you're reviewing next week, or do we want it to be a surprise?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell everyone. Next week, I will be reviewing one of my favorite series, actually. But one of the hardest Super Nintendo games I have ever played, Star Fox.
Ooh, I love that game.
I love that series. It's so good. And I will actually pitch why I think Star Fox could work as a Pixar-type movie next week.
Oh, you know, that's not a bad idea.
But I'll save that little tease for next time.
Get on it, Nintendo. We want this stuff. Make us happy. Damn it.
You have an archive of pop culture just saying, you know, send me out into the masses.
Yeah, I think Nintendo got a little scared of releasing their properties because of the Super Mario Brothers movie. Which we're going to review after a couple of weeks or months, maybe whenever we get around to it, maybe sooner than later. But I think Nintendo really got scared off from making any of their properties into entering into the film realm or even TV because of that movie. But I think it, you know, it's been enough time that Nintendo really needs to step up their game. I mean, they're making a whole theme park in Universal. Why not start making movies again?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the whole Mario movie thing, but that's got to be close to 25 years ago.
Yeah. When did it come out? 92. So that was 25, 26 years ago. Yeah, enough time has passed, Nintendo. Get your head out of the sand. Let's do this.
Oh, exactly. Let's see. It came out in 93.
So that was 24 years ago. God, I'm getting old.
I'm not too far behind you.
I don't like it. Make it stop.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, just got to do what you got to do to stay young, people. That's why we play retro games around here. But on that note, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at nerdcaveretro, at jfunktastic, at Derek_diamond. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. And we're also now on Instagram at nerdcaveretro. And we're about to launch our own website as well. So we'll let you know as soon as that gets launched. Just keep an eye on our Twitter and our Facebook and our Instagram. And so, Derek, tell them what it's all about.
Hashtag bring back Wart.
Yes. Hashtag bring back Wart, please.
You've been listening to a Nerd Cave Network production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.